Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank Thee, Father, for Thy great love, for Thy great mercy, for Thy great goodness. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ and Him crucified, our hope of glory. Amen. Father, thank You for this wonderful work that You've given us here. Thank You that we can reach souls, that we can touch hearts with the gospel of Christ. Thank You for our radio ministry, our internet ministry. Thank You for the ability to feed the poor as we go forward today to feed the poor and the homeless, and we pray that You bless us in that work. We're thankful for during this holiday season that we have those that are giving gifts to the poor today, and so we pray that You be with that work and bless those people. Bless every hand it gives and every hand it takes. We pray Thee in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I decided at the last minute to throw the sermon out and just get up here and share with you today. I have a couple of announcements. There was a lady's ring found in the restroom, and so whoever it is needs to come and see me and tell me what it looks like, and I'll give it to you. And there was a lady's or man's bracelet that was found out on the parking lot, and if you come describe that to me, I'll be honored to give it to you. And so look and see if you got all your jewelry on today in case you're missing something. Thank you, Brother Carl. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee. The Lord be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. This morning, I'm going to give a report to the church. We'd like to welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worships of the Main Street Church of Christ. We're a 116-year-old all-volunteer church, inner-city congregation of the poor, the meek, the downtrodden, and the homeless. During this Christmas season and year-end season, we'd like to ask that you continue to help us and support us in this important mission that we have here. We're going to talk about many things this morning. The most important thing that we do here is not feed the poor. The most important thing we do here is not the benevolent work that we give and the help that we give to the poor. That's not the most important thing we do here. The most important thing we do here is not the contribution and taking up the offering. The most important thing that we do here is we preach the gospel. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go," and He said to them, "Go ye into all the world, everywhere, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned." 18 years ago, I showed up at this church and sat down back on the back row back there, not worthy to ever have a position such as I have today. I have been the greatest of sinners and ashamed of myself for it. And God has raised me up in spite of myself and in spite of my sins to proclaim His holy word. The preaching of the cross that goes on in this place is a wonderful thing. This year, we have baptized 152. Last year, we baptized 95. Most of that is due to our staff and mainly to Manuel. Where's Manuel at? Manuel ought to be up here. Come on up here, man. We want to be thankful for all the blessings that the Lord has given us. Manuel was a staff sergeant in the Army, and we want to ask that from now on that everybody go right here to the Lord's table when I call you up here in a minute. Manuel was a staff sergeant in the Army. He went through two tours in Iraq. He came back, and he was cheated by DART, and he's gone through great tribulation. He doesn't have his job anymore. And so God has put him to work preaching the gospel, and he's become a strong right arm to me. And so, Manuel, tell the church about this work here and what you think about it.
Well, it's a great work. It's just a great work. And regardless of what anybody thinks about it, it is the work that needs to be done. Amen. So what I say, part of what I do is I do everything. Everything I can do to make Brother Kelly's job easier, that's what I'm trying to do. You know, so I've done everything from serve soup to, feed the homeless, clubbing clothes, giving toothpaste, anything, you just name it. I'm doing it. Cleaning the toilets, whatever I can do when there's no one else to do it. Amen. And, sometimes I just feel like it's a humbling job, and I just don't feel like much. But in the class that I give, in the morning class, I give a 2-hour class, and Sunday mornings. And part of what I do is I preach and teach how to preach and teach the gospel, along with the outline lesson. And it's a good class. It's discussion also. So there's a lot of question and answering that goes on there. And then on Wednesday evening, I teach the evening class from 7 to 8. And we have a feeding from 6 to 6:30. So if you want to get a yummy, delicious meal that I cook along with some volunteers. And so it's a lot to be done. And, we have volunteers that help us out immensely. And we can always use more. So if you want to help, for anything at all, just give Brother Kelly or myself or Brother Eric a call and let us know. And we'll put you to work. Okay?
Amen.
God bless y'all.
Thank you. Manuel is responsible for teaching and baptizing the majority of this 152 this year, and great credit goes to him. Eric Jenkins has been here for 10 years. He's one of our associate ministers, and he's an all-volunteer. He takes care of himself. And so, Eric, tell the church about your work here.
I tell you, time does fly by, Brother Kelly. When I first came to this congregation, I came here a sinner back in 1988. It's like, and basically, you probably wouldn't have recognized me back then. So I walked in this church building here in rebellion. I was a punk rocker. So I was decked out in my leather and everything. And I said, I'm going to go in this church. And if they accept me for who I am, then I'll come back. So I came in here. Everybody was pretty nice. I was a little surprised. Nobody seemed to treat me like I was different, which I really did enjoy. But I still wanted to sin. I had left home so I could be a big sinner and not have mother telling me about biblical things. So I came here Sunday. Monday, had a knock on the door. It was Brother Scoggins. Brother Scoggins was an elder here. Brother Scoggins came to my home, and because of that love that he had for me, I kept coming. Amen. I was going to drop out of the church for a while just so I could have my fun and sin, but Brother Scoggins stopped me from doing that. Amen. And I have loved this church ever since. And I started here as a minister back in 1995, so for off and on for 16 years I've been a minister here at Main Street, and I love being able to practice Christianity. Because here, it's not fake, it's not phony, this is the real thing. Preaching the gospel, evangelizing, taking care of the needy and poor, taking care of people regardless of what their financial status is, regardless of whether they're on drugs, or they have addiction, or they're living on the street, or they don't smell so good, or they don't look so good. We don't judge people here. Everybody's welcome at Main Street, and this is the most beautiful ministry I have seen in my 45 years on this earth. And I love being a part of it. I love Brother Kelly. If it wasn't for Brother Kelly, I wouldn't be here. Amen. Brother Kelly, I was praying at one end of town. I was at a congregation. I was not happy. I was not growing. And I was praying. I didn't know what to do. I came here to visit. And Brother Kelly was also praying. Amen. And Brother Kelly came up to me and he says, Brother, he says, God answered my prayers. And I was looking at him. He says, I need you over here. I said, no, I already have another congregation. I'm busy over there. I teach and I do this. And he says, no, you don't understand. there was a husband and wife, and they were very good. And they did a lot of good things here, but they had to move on, and they left. And Brother Kelly had a void here, so he prayed. And sure enough, he looks in the audience, and there I am. So he said, Brother, he says, I know that God wants you here. You can be used here. He says, I just want you to pray about it. And I did, and sure enough, I have not looked back since I've been here. So I love the work here. I love all of you, and this is a beautiful opportunity to do God's work, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Amen. Well, I ask that you please, let's don't clap today, because God deserves all the glory and all the praise of this. And we don't want to add to our worship. I want to ask, there's several things that I want to talk with you about this morning. What would you imagine would be the worst problem in a church? What could cause more problems than anything else? What could cause more problems than anything else? Filthy lucre, money, right? Now, Christians are forbidden to sue one another. Did y'all know that? We're forbidden as Christians to sue one another. We can't sue one another in a court of law. So in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, it tells you about suing one another, and most lawsuits are over what? Money. So, as the associate minister of this church, I noticed, and I used to teach Sunday school here, and I asked Jordy to read a scripture for me. And he said, I can't read. And he's got a third grade education. So for 8 years, 7 or 8 years, while I was the associate minister, I knew Jordy well, and he walked the streets of East Dallas picking up pennies. Jordy picked up pennies. Jordy picked up nickels and dimes, and he found a quarter every once in a while, right, Jordy? Well, wasn't many of them, but there's mostly pennies. And he'd look in every phone, every pay phone, to see if there's anything left in it. And every Sunday I would come down here and see the offering plate, and it would have two rolls of pennies already in it. Now, I'm not an idiot. I know who snuck down here and put those two rolls of pennies in that offering plate. It was a man who knew the value of a penny. Now, today, the society's got to such that dollars have taken the place of pennies. Benjamin Franklin said a penny saved, a penny earned. Well, it's not much today, saving a penny. But this man knows the value of a penny. So I have put him in charge of benevolence, and I'm going to read to you why. In 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, dare any of you, having a matter against another, to go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Did you guys know that? We're going to judge the world. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye worthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels, the fallen angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, like money, like filthy lucre, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Nobody was any more least esteemed in the church than Jordy. Come up, Jordy, and right here in front of the Lord's table. Nobody was more least esteemed in this church than Jordy. They gave a party for a preacher that came here, and they had a head table, and Jordy just didn't know any better, and he went and sat down there at the table, and they told him, get up and move. Now today, Jordy handles the benevolence in this church, and when y'all go ask him for a dollar, I want you to remember he knows the value of pennies. Tell him about your ministry, Jordy.
Well, my name is Jordy William Carey. I'm 77 years old. And Kelly gives me about $150 once. And people come to me and ask for bus fare. I do what I can because I know they need help. And our budget maybe is sometimes around $1,000. And we do all this work on the what we do here with about $1,000 a week. And mainly what I do is I answer the phone, and people come in, wants bus fare. I try to help them if I can. Sometimes I can't help them. And I thank you, every one of y'all, for the ministers of church. I've been a member of the church now for 43 years. And I only got a third grade education. And so I just do what I can. And I thank y'all so much for y'all's.
Smart and common sense, isn't he? Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jordy. We thank God for you and for the ministry that the Lord's given you and the great work that you do. Eddie Frazier, our jail minister, our jail chaplain, has taught and baptized this year 849. That's down from about 1,500. We're suffering great adversity in prison systems because of the fact that denominational preachers don't like us and they forbid Eddie to baptize and teach certain things and so forth. And he's just really going through a real problem, and it's always going to be a problem. False religion will always fight the truth. And so Eddie has suffered very greatly in the prison system this year. But you know something? He's taught and baptized 849 people, and he's going to go another three Sundays before the year's over. He'll have about 900 by the time the end of the year. So what other work on earth teaches and baptizes about 900 people? Not very many. Not very many people get to do that. Martin Christensen is our minister to the backers, and he's been sick and down and out for the last couple of years. He's gone through some terrible tribulations himself physically and been sick. But I want you to know that he made it possible for us to continue in our tape ministry. Emmett Pope back here is in charge of our tape ministry. And I think we're just not going to have enough time to call all the rest of you guys up. But Emmett Pope's in charge of our tape ministry. And we used to send tapes out every week to about 150 people. And it costs us $1.20 or so to mail 150 tapes. Now, we found out that we can put four in a package and we can mail four of them for $2. So now we mail once a month and we send four tapes out and we send it to about 150 people all over the United States. Plus we send tapes for acapella singing and things of that nature. And we have a lot of volunteers here. This church could not operate without the great abundance of volunteers that we have. I hear all manner of things and receive all manner of comments from people in my work. And one of the things that I do is I receive emails, and I'm going to share one with you here. This guy sent me an email, and it says that you won't dare, I know that you will not make this information public. And it says, so-called Christ birthday Christmas is a pagan lie. And so, if you'll notice on the front of your bulletin here today, I've had it every year since I've been preaching. It says that in 274 A.D., during the time of persecution of the church, in order to expose Christians, Aurelian Caesar proclaimed December 25th the time of the winter solstice as the birthday of the sun god Sola Invictus. In order to avoid persecution, Christians simply decided to take the same day off too and call it Jesus' birthday. And such Christmas began, which is a Roman Catholic holiday. I have announced that to y'all and to the radio audience every year since I began to preach, and I want you to know the truth. Jesus Christ did not come into the world for us to celebrate Christmas and Easter. God did not give us two holidays. He gave us 52 holidays. He gave us every first day of the week. Now look at Acts chapter 20, verse 7. If you'd pull that up, please, Adam. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. Down in that verse it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Why did the disciples come together? To break bread. Now, do you know that 90% of Christians who call themselves Christians come together on Sunday morning, and that's the only verse in the whole New Testament that tells us to come together on Sunday morning. Did you know that? No other verse in the New Testament tells us to come together on Sunday morning. And in that verse that tells us to come together on Sunday morning, it tells us to do what?
Break bread.
To break bread, to take the Lord's Supper. 90% of those people who call themselves Christians come together on Sunday morning and don't take the Lord's Supper. How could they use that verse, justify that verse? I wrote this fellow back. I said, you should be careful before you speak, for I make it known every year that December 25th is my birthday and not the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just in case y'all didn't know it, next Sunday's my birthday and I don't accept any presents, so y'all don't bring me anything but you. Every year I warn the congregation along with our radio audience on Worldwide Christian Radio that this is a pagan Catholic holiday. The only difference between you and me is I let God do the judging. I'm not about to tell people that they're going to go to hell over a Christmas tree when there are secret fornicators, child molesters, drunks, and dope fiends galore that I need to preach to. Yeah, so we need to major in the majors and not worry about the minors. Now, let me tell y'all about Christmas. Traditionally, in the churches of Christ, we don't celebrate Christmas. The way that I look at Christmas is that it's an opportunity for me to preach the gospel to a whole lot of people. And that's what I generally do. You know what I preached on last Christmas? Does anybody remember? I preached on hell. Now see, all of this preaching about Christmas, up to Christmas, is just really, you know, it's like throwing bait out there and reeling them in. And so last Christmas I preached on hell. I have no idea what I'm going to preach on next Sunday. Y'all, maybe y'all could help me figure out something. But I know what the apostle told me to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same." I want you to notice that we're not supposed to change the revelation. The same commit thou to faithful men. First generation is Timothy. Second generation is faithful men. Who shall be able to teach others also. Third generation. So here we have three generations of people. Timothy, the people he's going to teach, and the people that those people are going to teach. Three generations. And they're to teach the same thing. Stay with the Bible, people. Stay with the Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, Timothy is about, Paul is about to die for the faith. And Timothy, he tells Timothy, but continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Now this word inspiration here in the Greek is theopneustos. It means God breathed. God literally breathed those words out of the mouth of the prophet. It's a different word from phario, which is found in Peter's account of a verse much like this. But prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That word there means like carried along across the sea, like a ship is carried along across the sea. So prophecy came in the Bible. Men wrote the Bible as God breathed it through them and as they were carried along like a sailing ship across the sea by the Holy Spirit. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Doctrine is teaching. For reproof means to reprove something, reproof. To straighten somebody out, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that we might learn to be righteous. See, righteousness is a proof that you're a Christian, because when you become a Christian, you start becoming more and more holy. Things start happening to you. Those of you who used to steal, don't steal anymore. Those of you that used to be a drunkard, don't drink as much. Those of you that used to beat your wife, is stop. If your wife's beating you, get her to stop beating you. That's what that means. You stop. For instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. I want you to notice that preachers can be perfect in God's sight, thoroughly furnished to all good works, and you can only do that by staying with the Bible. I charge ye therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living, quick is living, and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. That's when you feel like it and when you don't. In season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke. When you call somebody aside and you tell them, look, brother, you're not supposed to talk that way in front of them. You know, in front of the women and kids, and don't talk that way anymore. And so that's reproving somebody. You tell them quietly, you tell them nicely, and they do it again. Then you take the jackass aside, or you tell him in front of a witness, and you rebuke him. You rebuke him strongly in front of somebody and tell him, I'm not going to allow any kind of talk like that in front of women and kids. So that's the way that you do things. You try to do it gently if they'll let you. It's like Romans 12 says, as much as it's possible and it lieth within you, be at peace with all men. Some people won't let you be at peace with them. And so you just do your best. You try to be a Christian. Reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine, sound teaching, in other words, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And that, what that means, it'll tickle your ear, will tell you what you want to hear, in other words. And they shall turn their ears from the truth and be turned into fables, tales of supernatural happenings. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, be a minister, you're going to have plenty of affliction. Do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. And that's what we're trying to do right here. So when I became the minister of this church 18 years ago, we were under great lawsuit. The thieves who had run this place before us had stolen all the money and got us sued and all kinds of terrible things happening. And I went over to a big fancy church over here not far. And I told them I need some help, I need a lawyer, and we need to hire a lawyer. And they said, no, we're not going to help you. And that church got its start because of this church right here. And I told the Lord, I said, I will never, ever go beg again. I will preach the gospel and feed the poor. It's your job to send the money. And God's done that. Because we own this property, we don't have rent. And so therefore, we don't have to make building payments like most churches do. Because the preachers here don't get paid, we don't have huge salaries. Because the secretaries are volunteers, Diane and Victoria are volunteers, we don't have huge salaries. And so we don't waste money on those things. And all of the money can be spent on preaching the gospel and feeding the poor. Isn't that a wonderful concept? So that's where we started this concept 11 years ago when I started preaching. The Lord has blessed us with an internet ministry. In 2010, we had 1 million hits that year on our internet. Last year, the Baptist or somebody started hacking our websites and shutting us down. And our website was shut down to an extent that we only have had about 800,000 hits. Now in 2010, we downloaded 104,000 sermons. 104,000 1 hour sermons. Now let me tell you and be just frank with you. We could have a half hour radio program and I'd have to preach to you 15 minute sermons and nobody can be taught in 15 minutes. Or we can have a 1 hour radio program and I have to preach to you 45 minutes and that's why we have 45 minute preaching. So a lot of people don't like 45 minute preaching and they can just go on down the road. It's all right. There's plenty of churches down the road that has those 15-minute cool whip sermons that they can go down there and get their ear tickled. They can punch their card. They can go visit God and then go on to the cafeteria and all the things that they do. But we're going to worship here. We're going to study the Bible here. We're going to do it like the early church did it, and we're going to put out a good sermon to the people, this people here first, and to our internet audience second. And last year in 2010, we downloaded 104,000 sermons. Now remember, I told you our hits were down. We've gone down from 1 million hits to 800,000 hits. I added up the sermons from last month, and we had over 8,700 sermons downloaded last month. That's 87,000 and 8,700 and 8,700. That's way over 100,000 again. So you see, losing the hits didn't cost sermons. It cost something, but His word won't return void, will it? He'll look out for His Word. And God has protected us through that problem that we've had. And we think we've got that fixed. But like all things in the world, it costs money. It's costing us $39 a month to get that fixed. So we think we've got that hacking fixed. Our radio broadcast, it's absolutely amazing how we have grown. We started 7 years ago on one little old radio station. 8 years ago, and now we go out on 1630 AM radio to all of North Texas, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, all of North Texas. There's over 7 million people in our broadcast area. Those people who come down here from Oklahoma, that come from East Texas and so forth, those are all people that's heard us on the radio, and many of those people get our CDs. And you'd be amazed at the things that happens in this CD ministry that Emmett's doing. One guy up in Oklahoma gets the CDs. He listens to them and takes them to an old folks home, and all the old folks in there listen to them. After they've listened to them, he sends them to a church in East Texas, and people at that church listen to it. And then individuals from that church who are farmers take them and play them while they're running their tractors out in the field, and they've come here and visited. We have no idea what's happening to these CDs that we give out. We're on 1340 AM radio in Abilene, and our dear sister Christine Glass is sick out in Abilene. She's a dear sister that is having worship service in her home, and she's got a bunch of ladies that are coming over and worshiping with her in her home, and they worship by listening to us on the radio and taking the Lord's Supper to their own home. And we're on at noon out in Abilene, and so we'd like to welcome Abilene. In fact, we'd like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or call us at 214-821-2123, or be sure and visit our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com. So we're on 1630 AM radio to all of North Texas. We're on 1340 AM radio to Abilene, Texas. We're on 1300 AM in Nashville, Tennessee, going out to all of Tennessee, southern Kentucky, and northern Alabama. And then we're on Worldwide Christian Radio, and it's amazing. It goes out at 8 p.m. out of Nashville this morning. We're broadcasting up to 2 billion people in the radio audience. It covers all the East Coast and the Great Lakes of the United States, Canada at 8 o'clock. 7 o'clock and 8 a.m. Canada receives a broadcast. Mexico gets a broadcast at 7 o'clock in the morning. South America at 9 and 10 o'clock. Europe at 2, 3, and 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Eastern Europe at 4 p.m. The Ukraine at 5 p.m. this afternoon. Russia at 5 and 6 p.m. this afternoon. All of Africa at 2, 3, and 4 p.m. All the Middle East from 4 to 6 p.m. And Israel, right now today in Jerusalem and Israel, they'll be listening to our broadcast at 4 p.m. today. Isn't that absolutely amazing? On a church that has absolutely no money, we used to have people that gave, we had some people to give us $10,000 and stuff like that every once in a while. But the economy's so down and out that people are not doing that, and I don't have a list of people who've given us gifts. We don't double dip people. We don't contact people and ask them to give us another gift. God has to supply this. So God is going to continue to supply. We our bank account runs typically $1,000 in the bank. Sometimes 2,000, if we're really rich, 3, but it won't be there long. But the other day we had $40.44 in the bank, and I was fixing to send Larry to go get bread, and his check was $40 to go get bread, so we had 44 cents left in the bank. Isn't that wonderful? But God got us through it. And so we have a wonderful ministry here that's reaching out and touching a lot of people. The second part of our ministry, the first part is preaching the gospel to all the world. And we're doing a good job of that, being one little old church. Every church, just think what would happen and what the difference of the world would be if every congregation quit wasting their money and started preaching the gospel and feeding the poor. You just think about it. What could happen in the world today? And that's just on the excess. You know, there's nothing wrong with preachers having salaries. I deserve a salary. I just don't need one, want one. Every preacher deserves a salary. We're not any paying preachers. We're just saying that a lot of money is wasted that could go forward to preaching the gospel and feeding the poor. Brother Larry Thomas is our kitchen manager, and we want to thank the Lord for him. He's doing a great job. He's gone from homeless to living in one of our houses that we have over here, and he comes and picks up Brother Jordy every day and brings Jordy down here, and they're fixing two pots of soup a day and giving out soup and sandwiches to everybody that comes. James Jordan has come, and we hope that he'll come and join with us. We're talking to him about throwing in with us. Brother Fred Williams is our van driver and a maintenance man, and he's gone from homeless to somebody that we can depend on. Come up here, Fred, and tell people about how you got involved with this church. We want to thank all our volunteers too, Adam and Robert and all of y'all back there that do the sound system. None of this could be done if it wasn't for all these volunteers. How long have you been coming here, Fred?
Almost 6 years.
6 years.
And I was homeless. I was living under a bridge before I started coming here. And I got into a treatment center. I was a drunk. I got into a treatment center, and I decided that I wanted to turn my life around. And amen. This is the place to do it. Amen. And it's been nothing but blessings ever since.
Amen. How long have you been sober, bro?
6 years.
6 years. So let the church say amen. 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 Thank the Lord. There is a lot of people who help and support this ministry and keep this ministry going, and we couldn't do it without it. Rick helps clean up down here during the week, and Brian Disney. We've got some good deacons. Carl Boyd and Bernie Woods and Kenneth Scoggins are with us. Y'all come down to the front. I'm going to ask y'all to come up here in a minute. And we are blessed with feeding the poor, and that's a wonderful work. Bernie, how long have you been coming to this church? Tell the church about you.
I've been coming here about 40 years.
Amen.
I had to start coming to church to get married, so I did that. But I don't go to work until 3 o'clock, and I'll come down somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock, and I'll spend a couple of hours up here helping, doing whatever I can. But I think the main thing that I do is I pray, and I think that probably that's about what I could ask all of y'all to do, just to pray that we are able to continue with this work.
Amen.
And that the truth will always go out.
Amen. Carl, I know that Carl was listening on the radio and heard us on the radio. Tell us about you coming here. Carl's one of our deacons.
Amen. Well, I was a member up at Preston Crest up in North Dallas. And we'd gone into early services because we had some family coming over for dinner, and I just happened to pick up the radio broadcast. You've heard these stories about everybody, about how they did this and how they were sinful and they were alcoholics and they did this and they did that. But I assure you that there was nobody that needed to be here any more than I do. I love this place.
Amen.
And I thank God for it every day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Kenneth was born and raised here in this church. He used to play guard and I played tackle. And you can tell we both have plenty of wisdom. We got that gray hair and we both got mustaches. Tell them about it, Kenneth.
Yeah. Me and Kelly, we go way back to Mount Auburn grade school. But I wanted to be a worker for the Lord, and this is the place. We're in the inner city. We're right on the front lines. And the devil is alive and well in our neighborhood. So we got to be strong and have the word of God, the sword, in our hands. And my father, Oscar, I know he's glad that I'm here.
Amen.
But more importantly, my Heavenly Father, This is where he wants me to be, and that's and I'm glad to be here.
Amen. Kenneth's daddy was really responsible for me being a Christian. His daddy had Kenneth come mow my mom and daddy's yard while I was in prison. And so I know he did that to you, Kenneth. I know he did. Your daddy was just like, some of y'all call me pastor, and you shouldn't call me pastor because I'm not a pastor. I don't believe in the Baptist system of government in the church where there's one pastor in charge of everything. We've tried to make this church a democracy. Every time the word pastor, bishop, elder, overseer, presbyter, any of those words are all mean the same thing. Anytime that word's used in the Bible, it's always used in the plural as more than two or more. And the reason for it is that total power corrupts anybody, and absolute power corrupts everybody. And if you don't believe that, all you got to do is go to Washington, D.C. You can take a good man and send him to Washington, D.C., and I'm telling you, in 4 years, if you spend 4 years in the outhouse, you're going to come out of there smelling like what? We all know what you come out of there smelling like, and that's exactly what Washington's like. And it happens in the church if one guy becomes controlling of everything. We feed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of meals every week. We're feeding over 2,000 meals a week. Over 100,000 meals go out of here as we feed the poor. I got a letter from a lady that said, "Dear Pastor Kelly," well, just Brother Kelly. You guys just call me Brother Kelly. But the simple truth of the matter is I do the work of one, don't I? "Keep up the good work for Christ. You're blessing many, many people. I listen to the radio ministry on 1630 AM. Your common sense teaching and explanation of Scripture and so forth." And she's just sent us a great blessing, sent us a couple $100, and we're real grateful for it, and it'll be spent on the poor. I got a cute story to tell you. That there's a church over here kind of snooty towards us, and they're kind of in competition with us. They're Church of Christ too, and they're down the road here. They're brethren, and so a couple of our members put a table out here and sold some stuff on a Saturday, their own personal stuff. And so it got circulating rumors around the brotherhood that we're having garage sales over here. So we really, in the Churches of Christ, we frown on garage sales and stuff like that. We don't do stuff like that because it's not authorized by Scripture. And so they've always been kind of snooty to us. So let's call them, let's say that their name is the West Side Church of Christ. Well, I get a call just prior to Thanksgiving, and this woman says, "I'm from the West Side Church of Christ, and we'd like to come over and help y'all feed." And I thought, man, the Lord is coming back sure as the world, and they know about it, and I don't. And they're trying to repent. And so I said, "Well, that'd be nice." And I said, "What do y'all want to do?" And she said, "We want to bring a bunch of desserts, bring a bunch of women over, and so forth." And I said, "Fine." And so finally, after we get it all cleared up, it's the West Side Church in Garland. Now, that's not really their name. I'm trying to protect the guilty here, but yet give honor to the innocent and those that's come to help. But they sent me this. They came on Thanksgiving, and we fed about 250 in the building and sent about 150 to-go plates out of here. And so here's some of the things the people said. "You've never lived until you found somebody in worse shape than you are and done something good for them. I really enjoyed myself, and I hope and pray that the Church of Christ will continue to be blessed there. It was a great pleasure to help you guys. Please keep up the good work. Thank you so much for the opportunity to come and come out and serve and help the community. It's so nice to see the work that's being done and carried out there. I really enjoyed working with you all, and it's a wonderful experience. I really enjoyed helping you all, and hope that we will meet again soon. And I'm really happy for all that you do. And so this is a result of people coming and serving the poor. It was a great feeling to help out on Thanksgiving. And hopefully this will not be our last time coming. And it was, I enjoyed the experience of coming and helping and feed the poor. And on and on and on and on it goes. I'm telling you, you can't give a bite of food in Jesus' name and it not come back to you. There are some in the churches of Christ that believe that you can't feed in the building, that you can't feed people. Now in Psalms chapter 41, beginning in verse 1, the psalmist says to the a psalm of David, "Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth. And thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him on the bed of his languishing." 4 times I died in 2010 with a massive heart attack. My back, I was broken in two. Y'all seen me preach here for 10 years with a heating pad around my neck because of my back. I got my back fixed first, then I had a massive heart attack and died 4 times. The Lord will strengthen him on the bed of his languishing. Thou shalt make all his bed in his sickness. And I said, "Lord, be merciful to me and heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." David could say that, and so can I, because I've truly sinned against the Lord and I have repented of that. In Psalms chapter 32, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Blessed he whose sin is covered." Only God can cover your sin. "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Doesn't count sin, in other words. "And in whose spirit there is no guile." He's not a two-face. You guys know a two-face, don't you? You know one when you see one. You know, I could understand a man with two heads, but I can't understand a man with two faces. I just can't understand. "When I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." When you sin and you don't confess it, it's God's foot's going to be heavy on your neck. "For the day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, and my moisture is turned into drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. And I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord. And thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sin." Shelah means hallelujah, man. Boy, it's wonderful to be forgiven. "For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found." Jerry, come up and tell people about your Sunday school class. Brother Jerry Atkins has been coming here for several years, and we're grateful to have him as a teacher and a Sunday school teacher. Tell us about it, Jerry.
Well, this morning I forgot. My mind went completely blank, so I had to switch to something else. But anyway, I appreciate the opportunity to teach that class, and I'm supposed to be teaching to those who've been Christians, I hope, 5-10 years. My object is to try to make that class interesting, and sometimes I do. I ask questions. I make a discussion class and hear what the class has to say. I'm always amazed. Christians that have been Christians 5-10 years. They know a lot about the Bible. Amen. And I learn lots of times just from them. And I always stress that we study the Bible, because I believe as you study the Bible, you learn more wisdom, you learn how to handle people, you learn to be nice to people, to treat people right. Amen. And I think if you learn that, you get along down through life a whole lot easier in life. And I really appreciate the opportunity to teach that class. Thank you.
Amen. I want to thank all our volunteers that help around here. There just hadn't been time to call y'all up. You remember I told you a minute ago that some people in Churches of Christ don't believe in feeding in the building. Now I want to encourage y'all to study. If you go read 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, you'll see the Apostle Paul talks about the church there that's out of order. And they have had a meal, and they're commingling their meal with the Lord's Supper and with their worship. And so it would be wrong for us to be in here and have chili dogs and hot dogs and hamburgers and drinks and all that stuff in here today, and to be carrying on in here when we worship, because God has given us five things to do when we worship. We sing, we preach, we pray, we take the Lord's Supper and give. Those five things are commanded in the Bible and nothing else. And so we don't eat when we worship. Now, Paul tells, it ends in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 34, and it says, if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together to condemnation, and the rest I'll set in order and I come. Well, we're feeding homeless people that don't have a home to go to. We're feeding poor people that don't have anything at home. God is not interested in that. What's being taught there is don't commingle the Lord's Supper with your worship service. And we don't do that. Prove it, preacher. Well, after Paul wrote 1 Corinthians in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, Peter talks about their love feast. And in Jude chapter 1, verse 12, he talks about their love feast. Now, in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, it says, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. You see those words, daily ministration? It's the same word that we get deaconos from, that we get deacon from. Then the 12 called a multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. You see, the early church served tables, served food every day. It was a daily ministration. So we're doing exactly what the early church did. Otherwise, how would you fulfill what Jesus says in Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31? When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all His holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. This is Matthew 25, now verse 33. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. And then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave Me meat. Some people just leave the hungry and go to the cafeteria of their own self. Yeah. And they judge us that feed the poor. So I was hungered and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger and you took Me in. Naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. And I was in prison and you came to Me. All of those works there, the Main Street Church of Christ does. Amen. And it doesn't matter if you don't have but a penny to put in the plate. You're supporting the Main Street Church of Christ in all of those works. And so I want to thank you for being our partner in this ministry. In Romans chapter 12, verse 20, it says, therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. So here we have commandment of what to do and how to deal with people. Every week I tell you the gospel and what it is. You can't be saved without the gospel. It's what Jesus told us to go preach. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 3. And I'd encourage you to study that. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're now ready to repent of your sins. You're now ready to be baptized into Christ, to become a Christian. Won't you come now while we stand and sing? Stand up, brother, face the church. You believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.
I do.
Now I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Go in right over here, brother, and we'll baptize you right away.
Based on Dennis' confession, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins.